Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
If there's a bad basketball player, we can say he's a bad basketball player, but we don't say all people that play basketball are bad, right? But on the flip side, if somebody's bad in the church, they'll say everybody is bad, right? On the news, what do they want to do? They want to paint the church as being bad. They're not showing all the feedings that churches are doing or the different needs that they're meeting. They're just going to find that one pastor, that one person that went to church that failed and blast it because they don't agree with the church, first of all, but they want to keep it from growing. So we have to know that. Verse 16 says, you will know them by their fruits. It says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. All right, that's simple. It's simple to read, but we have to remember, we have to watch people's fruits. Now, this doesn't mean judge them, okay? Because some people, he got bad fruit, I'm going to kick him out. Look, sometimes some people got to learn. Even the people that have produced bad fruit, thank God there's a repentance that can be placed upon them. Amen? So, we have to check their fruit. Verse 18 says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by fruits, you will know them. So Jesus is saying, test their fruits. I had a conversation on my radio show. We were talking about the spiritual gifts. And, you know, sometimes people always have a lot to say about people on TBN. Oh, they're trying to get your money. And you know how people say they got a whole bunch of stuff. I say, to know if somebody is true or not, you find out who they're trying to give the glory to, right? If I pray over you and you're healed, then I say, now, bless me with an offering, right? Or you need to get this now because this is now you're giving praise to yourself, right? The devil did the same thing. He gave praise to himself. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. So the glory was not giving to God. There's an angel. There's a story in the Bible where either, who's the guy that wrote Revelations? John was speaking with the angel, right? And the angel came and John wanted to bow down and worship him. But the angel said, no, I'm not worthy to be worshiped. Only one is worthy, amen? And when you say only one is worthy, that's how you know who is of God and who is not of God. That's a simple thing that you can check. Is this person giving God praise or is he trying to get praise himself? Amen? So we got to know their fruits. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Still in the book of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. And this is important, too, because we're just going to go ahead and read it. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Right? And this is important because even today, different religions will say he's a great prophet, right? He's a great man. He's a great guy, but if they don't recognize what Peter says, but he says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, okay? Verse 17 says, Jesus answered and said to them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Okay? And it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus of the Christ. Now, that's interesting. First of all, sometimes when Jesus did a lot of great things, he was like, don't tell nobody, right? But we knew they couldn't help but tell somebody, right? But one of the things that we want to see is that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, right? The only way that people, a lot of times people are hurt by people in the church. They're not hurt by God, right? God is not hurting you, right? God is not doing things. Sometimes it's people that have different agendas and different things that they want to do, but God, his church, is the place where you should be protected. Amen? It says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And I look at one thing when I see the church here. The church is to be the revelation of who Jesus is. Peter said, or God, Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. What was that rock? It was that Peter understood who Jesus was. So when we think about our number one role is to let people know who God is. Amen. So when people say, oh, I don't want to go to church, you know, what they're really saying is, I know enough about who God is. I can do this on my own. But how many have heard somebody preach something and it helped you realize, man, something more about God? That's the powerful thing about when you go to church. It's just like if you go to school and you're studying to become whatever you want to become, if you actually go to the classes, you will learn and say, hey, that's something I need to know. Let me take notes of that, right? But if you don't go to the classes, if you don't go to school, you think you know it all, when you get into a situation, it's going to cause you to say, I wish I knew what to do. Now you're scratching your head because you didn't go to the place where you can learn. Somebody say the church is the place for revelation of Jesus. Amen. Also, it's protection against the enemy. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We're still talking about no excuses, not allowing the excuse. Number one, sometimes the biggest excuse is the Bible says people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Amen. So next time somebody asks you or tells you, I don't want to go to church, say that's an excuse. What else? What's the other reason you don't want to go to church? Then they'll start telling you some other stuff, right? Because this is just an excuse. And our biggest thing with sharing this sermon series is to remove these. I don't know how many people I've talked to lately. They were talking about something was going on in their life. And I was like, you got to remove the excuses. If you're having a problem and you feel like your family's not in the right place, where are you? Are you in the right place with God? Don't let, how many people allow their circumstances to dictate whether they're going to pray, right? Whether they're going to praise and worship, whether they're going to spend time in the Word. If just because you're having a bad day, you don't read the Bible, and just because you're having a bad day, you don't want to spend time with God, guess what? The enemy's going to send a lot of bad days. Because he knows, oh, if I keep this person from getting into the presence of God, I can keep him from becoming who God has called him to be, right? And I always tell people that prayer and reading the Word are our only weapons, right? We do not go to war. If you're in a war, you don't go to war with nothing. You don't go to war without a gun. You don't go to war. I mean, back in the day, they didn't go without swords and shields. They didn't do that. They were armed. But the enemy is disarming us because we feel like, oh, I'm drained. I don't have enough to get into the Word. But we can't allow that to stop us. That's an excuse, and we have to push past that. Amen? Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 31. This is just another confirmation to beware. Somebody say beware. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So what is this saying again? First of all, The author is telling them to be prepared. The enemy is going to try to stop what you are doing, right? How many know that the enemy hates the church? Those that are walking in Christ, he hates the fact that we can come together and we can pray. Why? Because the Bible says where two or more are gathered in his midst, I am there. And whatever they ask for, I will answer as long as it's according to my will. Amen. That's what Jesus said. So the devil knows that, hey, if I can keep them separate, then we can win. But how many of you know we got to get together? We have to be prepared. Somebody say, be prepared. It says in verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So check this out. He was for 3 years warning them. How many people in the church get warnings like that? Watch out for people, because some people that come into church are not going to be of the same mind, of the same heart. It said, Paul said that he constantly did this. Isn't that crazy? We don't think about it like that, but he constantly said, for 3 years, I've warned you night and day. So be ready, because it's coming. And I can say this. Some people probably heard him saying that every day and were like, okay, Paul, whatever, man. And when it came, guess what? They weren't ready. Because how many know when you have to, you have to be prepared for when the enemy comes. If you're not prepared, they'll overtake you. So we must be prepared. So when we start thinking about the body of Christ, we have to think about this. We have to know this. I'm a person that any church that I go to, I'm not, as soon as I get in, I'm not yelling, amen, praise God. I'm trying the spirit, right? I use this discernment that God allows me to have, and I just sit there for a while and see, okay, who is trying to get the glory here? Are they serious about giving God the glory, or are they serious about looking good? You have to use this. You have to ask God for wisdom, and the Bible says he will give you wisdom and insight, amen? So we have to beware. I'm running through this because these are excuses that keep people from, this will help people from being hurt if they are prepared. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. I have a lot of scriptures on just this little thing, but I only have three more. Then we'll move to the next section. I was reading this earlier. It said, Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Okay? I just want to stop there because a lot of us, we quote, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we don't realize that when Jesus was saying this, he was saying this because there was going to be people that were going to persecute them. Right? We have to use wisdom. We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What does that look like? That means just because somebody says something, we don't follow everything somebody says, right? And we're not on the attack mode either, because that's what happens. Some people, when they get hurt by the church, now they're on the attack mode. Nobody's going to hurt me again. I'm going to hurt them before they hurt me, right? They allowed their hearts to grow hard, and now they're not willing to fellowship because they feel like, man, if anybody get hurt, it's not going to be me. And that's never going to allow you to have a great relationship with people. I know people for years who have not joined or went back to church because of different things that have happened. And guess what? It's going to happen, right? There's going to be things that continually happen that will hurt people if they are not prepared. So we must be prepared. Amen. This is homework for you. Somebody say homework. So, you know, we go to church and the people be like, homework? What? Yeah, it's good to study your scripture. I want you guys to read 2 Peter chapter 2. The whole chapter deals with being prepared, watching out for persecution, not being suspect to what's going to happen. Or subject to what's going to happen, you have to be prepared. Amen. So I just want you guys to write that down If you got to write it on your hand, put it in your phone, something. 2 Peter chapter 2, go ahead and read that chapter. I think it would be good. All right, we're going to go to the last two scriptures. Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 and 24. And I want this one in the Amplified if you have it back there. It says, search me. Now, this is important. Even if you've been hurt by the church, it's important to say, God, search me, right? Because sometimes we allow that hurt to be built up, and sometimes we forget it's there because we've walked and operated in it for so long, right? So it says, search me thoroughly. Somebody say thoroughly. Oh, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I'm going to read that last verse again. It says, and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. We have to constantly ask God to search us. Brother Greg had a great song about searching us, which was called Metabolo. Why is this important? We have to make sure we study to show ourselves approved. That we are ready. I'm not one of those people that preach that says, oh, the only way you're going to hear from God is from when I preach, right? I don't want you to think that. We want you to get and build a relationship with God so you can hear God's voice. I think sometimes the problem with churches, so many people want to lord and say, I'm the way that you can get to know who God is. But that's not true. Jesus tore the veil so we all have access to him. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this. There is a reason why you have pastors in your life. I'm not telling you to get rid of and abandon pastors. Because some of us, we are not mechanics, right? So when it comes to fixing a car, you might mess it up because you haven't studied that, right? But when it comes to building a relationship with God, it's important for us to build it on our own. But sometimes there's going to be things that you have questions of, and you're going to say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this. Can you help me with this situation? And since that pastor has been studying and studying and studying for time and time, he is able to help you with that situation. Amen? So it's very important that we realize that we must develop ourselves, be great examples of what it means to be godly men and women, but we also must still honor who God has placed in our lives. Amen? So we cannot allow these are great things that help us not allow church hurt to happen to us again, but also to be prepared and to bring healing to those that have had church hurt in their lives. Amen? Because we see it, so it's all over the place. I go to the store, hey, you believe in Jesus? Yes. You want to go to church? No, I hate church, right? And it's just like, wow, what happened to you? I don't know. I'm not going to ask you, so what happened at church? Why are you? Sometimes you might have to do that, but you got to have a relationship to do that. And you also have to let them say, you know, speak with them and say, man, God has to heal you from that. If he doesn't, you're going to always be like that. And you, once again, you will not become all that God has for you. Amen? So that's how we can stop that excuse. The next excuse is, I was afraid or pressured. How many people have used that excuse to not do what God has said for you to do? Right? God says, preach this word, and not in front of people. It might just be to share the gospel with somebody. And you're like, oh, man, I don't know. That's not me, God. I'm not ready for that. God, I didn't study enough. I feel, and you're afraid, right? But fear is the opposite of faith. If you want to be somebody in God, you're going to have to embrace your fears. Not allow them to stop you, but go through your fears. The biggest thing I said, well, I was really praying for God's direction in my life, and a word that he gave me was conquer your fears, right? Have anybody conquered some fears in their lives? It's important that we do this from time to time. Okay, God, what am I fearing right now? Okay, God, allow me to conquer that. Because if I can conquer that, now I can replace that with faith and say, okay, God, I know that I can move past this fear because you've given me the strength to do that. My mom was praying and she said, as it says in Timothy, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? So it's important that we operate in a sound mind because a sound mind is the opposite of fear. Right? Power is the opposite of fear. Love is the opposite of fear. So we must walk and not be afraid. Sometimes other people are pressured, right? How many have heard of peer pressure? We've all heard of it, but how many have allowed peer pressure to keep us from being who God wants us to be, right? And some people use that as an excuse, but the Bible says God will not allow any temptation that is too big for you to handle. What does that mean? You're never going to be too pressured because God is going not to allow it to happen in your life. But your mind, if you say, oh, God, this is too much, God already told you it's not too much. But if your mind says it is too much, now you're operating in fear. All right? So next time we go through temptations, and I'm going to tell you this, it's easier to say this than to do this. Right? It's easier to say things in the Word of God. It's harder to do them. I got a quote from Pastor Nate. He says, it's easy to act like a Christian. It's tougher to react like a Christian. Right? When somebody cuts you off in the street, you might want to give them some choice words. Might not be curse words, but they're choice. Right? Sometimes you want to do that. But then you got to say, man, is that what God wants me to do? When people do that, the first thing I try to do is to say, thank God I didn't get in an accident. Why do I do that? It keeps me from doing other things, right? And I'm not really a violent driver at all, but I just don't want any of that to be in me. So I have to say, God, thank you, God, for keeping me. I remember one day I almost got hit 3 times because 3 people ran alike in one day. And I was like, oh, my goodness. The third person, I was like, God, I thank you for keeping me safe. Why? Because I pray that as soon as I get in the car. God, keep your hands over protection of us as we drive. Allow your angels to guard us and keep us. There's a time that me and my wife and kids were driving, and I go down this street all the time. It's a third street, and it's headed toward Renton Stadium. And there's a stop over there, and I've shared this with some people, but there's a turn. Well, you're going straight, but there's this like trees and bushes, and I cannot see it. I go by there every time, and I cannot see what God allowed me to see. He allowed me to see somebody was not able to stop before I should naturally, in my natural eyes, be able to see it, right? So I'm stopping. I'm slowing down way before, and I'm like, whoa, she's not going to stop. So we're able to stop. And she hits the person next to us, or the car next to us. That car who got hit just took off. They just kept driving. And, you know, the other, we stopped to make sure the lady that ran into them was okay. You know how sometimes when it rains, it's hard to stop your brakes or whatever. And she was like, my brakes would. She was just panicking. So we stayed there until her husband got there. But every time I drove by there again, I say, God, I naturally could not have seen that. But I thank you because your angels allowed me to see and keep us safe. Amen? And I say that because God is able to do that kind of stuff. If we're in the right position with God. Now, if I didn't pray, if I didn't have a relationship with God, I honestly would say that we probably would have got hit. Because God wouldn't allow me to see that. But I thank God that he does allow me to see that. Amen? So that means when you're in a pressure moment, know that God is not allowing you to be pressured more than you can take. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And a lot of times we have a lot of the people in the Bible that fail to the pressure, right? Sometimes we have those stories of somebody that was supposed to do something and they didn't do that. Why? Because all of us have done the same thing, right? Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, through 35, and then we'll pick up 69 through 75. This is Peter's denial. It says, then Jesus said to them, all of you, not some of you, but all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Now that's interesting. When you think about that, Jesus is telling them, all of you guys are going to fall today. All of you are going to stumble because of what's about to happen. Now, just like Peter, we probably will say the same thing. Yeah, right, God, that's not going to happen to me, God, right? Because that's the right thing to say, right? God, I'm never going to turn from you. I'm going to follow you no matter what happens. But guess what? When pressure comes, it's a lot easier to say something than it is to do it. It says, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Now it's interesting, too, because when I just read that, is Peter trying to prove that he's better than everybody in this sense? Could be. Peter's like, if everybody else does, look, I'm not going nowhere. Like, maybe they're not strong enough, God, and he didn't say it like this. But when you read it, he could have been thinking it like that. Man, I'm not leaving. And Peter was that guy. Like, Peter was the guy that always was stubborn, right? That always was going to figure out how he can do something the way that he wanted to get it done. But what this shows me, too, as we read this, is that Peter was relying on his own strength to do this. And anytime you try to rely on your own strength, guess what? You will always fail. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. You can look at this and say Peter was proud of who he was, right? And he was proud, and in his pride, he thought that he could stay. But guess what? You cannot stay like that. All right? Verse 34 said, Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. So now everybody's saying this. We're not going to deny you. But let's keep on and seeing what happens in verse 69. I didn't want to read this whole story. It's a long story. Somebody say the pressure comes. All right. Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them, saying, I do not know what you are saying. All right. Verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 72, but again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear. Now, why did he curse and swear here? To try to make his speech not sound like he was with Jesus, right? Some people would think Peter cussed all the time. We don't know that. But we can see that in this instance, because they said the way you talk, the way you speak shows that you are with Jesus, he tried to do the flip side. Well, I know if I talk like this, they're going to know that I ain't with Jesus, right? So he's cussing, I ain't with him. I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Now, why do I share this story? Because we all had failed when we are pressured at one point in our lives. From maybe it's not on that scale, and I will say this, sin doesn't have scales. Right? Sometimes it might not be somebody else coming up to you, but it could be the Holy Spirit is telling you to share who I am. But because of fear, you don't do it. And Jesus says, In a word, if you deny me in front of men, I will deny you in front of my Father. Right? Now, Peter did deny God. The great thing about God and Jesus, as you continue to read this, the book of Matthew, Jesus, after he died, he had to restore Peter. He had to get him back into right position. Amen? And that's, we all have to get back in the right position by saying, God, forgive me, I messed up. It said he went away and wept bitterly, but we don't know what Peter's relationship with Jesus was after that. He might have been looking down every time he was with Jesus until Jesus said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Why did Jesus have to do that? Because he had to get Peter's head back up. Amen? So when it comes to being pressured, we have to know this. Once again, that there is no pressure. Somebody say no pressure. That is too much for me to handle with Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. If you're trying to do it on your own, you're going to find the pressure that's going to be too much. Your pressure gauge on your own is not as high as it is without Jesus or with Jesus. Amen? Once again, if you are afraid, know that the Spirit of God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Amen? So that's all I wanted to share today. We are fighting these excuses. Some people, how many of you know somebody that's been hurt by the church and haven't been to church since then? Right? How many know people that are afraid, even in the church? But I tell you this, if we remove fear, if we stop saying I was pressured into doing this and say, God, I'm going to trust you because I know that you are God that will never leave me nor forsake me. You will not put more on me than I can bear. I trust your word, and I know that you've given me a sound mind. I know that I can go through whatever I'm facing. Amen? So we have to know this. We're dealing with the excuses that we have. Because how many of you know these excuses are going to come up? Anything you do, an excuse can come up and it can stop you. But I want us to become all that we can in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Has this been helpful to anybody today? If it has, just raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. The reason why I'm going to start doing that a lot more, just so we know what is impacting our people. Amen? It's great to come to church. It's great to have people that pray and worship with us, but it's horrible if nobody grows, right? The goal of the church is to come together in Christ and to grow. Our goal and our vision is to become the new creation that God has called us to be. And not only that, becoming a new creation, we should all see, man, God has changed my life, right? Monica should look at herself this year compared to last year and say, man, I grew a lot in Jesus, right? I see where the areas that I grew. And this is not so we get excited in ourselves, but we should see that. We should have tests in our own lives that say, man, God, okay, man, I see how God has allowed me to grow in this area. Last year when I went through the same thing, I was just out of my mind. I couldn't take it. But this year, now I can trust and stand on the word of God. Amen? The Bible says we grow from glory to glory. So let us do that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for this word. God, I thank you even for myself, dear God, that you will continue to allow me to remove the excuses. Continue to allow each of us to remove the excuses that keep us from becoming all that you have called us to become. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we heard this word, oh God, as we heard even some of the people that are hurt by the church, that we would be able to share to them the word that will keep them, that will protect them. And dear God, I pray to God that you protect your people here today, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, dear God, that there's nothing that comes our way, dear God, that will keep us from becoming all who you want us to be as long as we are connected to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.